Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for October the 3rd. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been investigating Paul's first several verses in which he talks about the five things that all of Israel were involved in the Exodus. All under the cloud, all through the sea, all baptized into Moses, all ate the food, all drank the drink. And Paul spiritualizes and makes these things that are literal into allegorical things. They literally followed the cloud by day, and they literally passed through dry ground, and yet Paul takes those two literal things and makes them an allegory for baptism. That they were immersed in a cloud, they were immersed in the sea, and greater than that, they were immersed into Moses. That by following the cloud by day and going through the Red Sea, they were actually becoming in union with Moses. When we talk about baptism, we all see the water and we see the individual going down into the water, or depending on the Christian tradition you came up in, and I don't know of a Christian tradition that doesn't include baptism in some form. In some Christian traditions, it includes it as baptism for infants. Some of you might be surprised to know that that was not just a decidedly Catholic thing. Martin Luther believed quite adamantly in infant baptism. But I don't know of a Christian tradition that doesn't include it in one way or the other. Maybe infant, maybe splashing with water, maybe sprinkling on your forehead, maybe pouring water over your head. I came up in the tradition, and it seems like a far bigger deal was made of the method when I was younger than it was as I got older. But I knew the word baptism meant immerge about as fast as I knew any word's definition in the Bible, that you're immersed, and so to be baptized was to be taken down. And I think we're missing the point, because it was all just representative of something. It wasn't that you literally found salvation in the waters as much as you metaphorically found salvation in the water, that you were washed off with who you were. But it was not only being washed, and this is what makes Paul's interpretation of baptism different than, say, the Judaism's idea of washings. You were identifying, you were immersing with, merging with, and identifying with something else. So to be baptized into Christ, Paul uniquely defines, by the way, as being baptized into Christ's death. Paul takes baptism as going down into the grave so that you can come up out of the grave in a newness of life. It is not only being washed, it's being identified. He then takes Israel, sees them all as a collective unit following the cloud, all as a collective unit going through the sea, all as a collective unit standing at the base of the mountain, receiving something they had not had before. That's the old, what we now refer to as the Old Covenant. A Jew wouldn't call it the Old Covenant, by the way. They'd call it the Law. And Paul sees that the cloud and the sea was an immersion into the theology of the law, so that you, as you underwent that, as you were baptized into that, you were being taken over by something else. So they basically went from being identified through circumcision to Abraham, being baptized into Moses, so that now they are identified by Sinai. When John the Baptist comes along baptizing at the River Jordan, and he's baptizing people unto repentance, mind change. What's that mean? He's immersing them into the water, but that water's metaphoric because he declares it, that it's a baptism unto repentance. Now go bring forth fruits worthy of what you've just done. So we are immersing you into a mind change. A mind change about what? He says the kingdom's at hand. You guys want to know what the kingdom's going to look like? Come up here. Be immersed into mind change. Now go live it. Well, You can't effectively change with that baptism. We know this because in Paul's dealings in Acts 19, he goes to Ephesus and sees those who have been baptized, but there's obviously something wrong with their lives. They're not living in a way conducive to the fruit growing. And Paul says, well, didn't you guys receive the Holy Spirit? And they go, well, we don't even know what that is. And he says, well, how was you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. He said, oh, well, John baptized with a baptism of mind change, but that you were supposed to believe that the king was coming. I'm going to read this. Acts 19:4. John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what happens? Paul says, well, look, you were immersed into mind change, but the mind change was that you would stop trusting Moses and start trusting Jesus, and you haven't been baptized into Christ. Because what happens when you're baptized into Christ? John says, when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. His fans in his hand, he's going to thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to gather his wheat into the garner and burn a chaff with unquenchable fire. So what is Jesus doing when you receive him? He is pouring the fire over who you are. And the fire is not to punish you. The fire is to purge you. The fire is to purify you. He gathers the parts of you that are touched and gifted and blessed and favored, and he separates from them the chaff. Chaff is not tares. It's not weeds in your field. Chaff is the excess stalk that's part of what is good about you, but that is doing you no good. You don't use the entire stalk of wheat. You use the wheat. The chaff is the excess. And the process of the Holy Spirit is burning away that excess, shifting and sifting and burning it away. It's why it never really ends. So while the work is finished for your redemption, that's what Christ has done. What he's ongoing doing is showing you the separation, the areas of your life that need separate. And I think that's a lot of what Paul is warning the Corinthians about. You know, don't be overtaken. Don't, you know, when you think you stand, lest you fall, by doing that baptism comparison. Now, I thought I would get into the rock of verse 4, but I didn't. And so I will tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.